Just a bit of a forward notice for what's coming up. I'm going to be speaking on faith again today, but this will be the last time I'll be speaking on faith for some time, indeed Romans. Next week we have the youth service, and then we're away for a couple of weeks on our 25th wedding anniversary, so we'll have a couple of other speakers that will be speaking, and then by then we'll be into the Christmas, the Advent season. Following that, sort of in the middle of January, probably we'll get back to this again. I wanted to say that because even though I may not be speaking about faith from the front, I believe that we'll be speaking about faith a lot more, each one of us, in terms of the conversations that we have with others about where they're at faith-wise and what's going for us in faith. Today, I want to speak about, in Romans 4, we read about the life of Abraham, and when we read Hebrews 11 before, we spoke about this great man of faith. So if you have your Bibles, it'll be up on the overhead as well, reading from Ephesians, sorry, I should say, because that's in front of me here, reading from Romans rather, Romans 4, verse 17 to the end of the chapter. Romans 4, verse 17 to the end of the chapter. I'll just use the odd proper noun here just to so we're clear what we're talking about. As it is written, I have made Abraham a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope in hope believed, and so he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Let's pray. Father God, again, we thank you for your word, for its clarity, for its challenge to us. Father, in asking the question this morning, where do we stand on this point of faith? We heard last week, without faith, it is impossible, impossible to please you. So until we come to this place of faith and begin our own journey of faith, then we have not pleased you. And it would be a terrible thing to fall in the hands of the living God, knowing that he was not pleased with us. So, Father, speak to us about faith. For those of us who haven't begun this journey of faith or come to this journey of faith in Christ, we would begin that today. For those of us who have begun the journey a little while ago, for the steps that you are causing us to take. And for those of us who have been on the journey for some time, speak to us about faith and consider that Abraham made one of his greatest admissions and steps of faith when he was 100 years old. And we have one person in this congregation very close to that age. And if we can imagine the life of that person and consider that that was the greatest step of faith that was taken at that age, then none of us are too old to take the greatest step of faith in our life. Father, thank you for the testimony of this cloud of witnesses and for what they're speaking to us and saying to us this morning about faith. Amen. So three things I want to say this morning. One is that lovely verse which you may have heard before, and I don't know about you, but I grew up with hearing the King James Bible. It's one of the reasons I probably like using the New King James, if I'm honest. But some of the phrases that we have sort of rolled off the tongue quite well. I don't want to get too nostalgic, but what about this line, eh? Who calls those things which do not exist as though they did? Now, some of you, I don't know, have the ears on the back of your necks as you hear that because you know that people have spoken that over your life or in a position when you first heard that and realized that these were prophetic words being spoken. And these were words for you to act out. And this may be 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And maybe not quite yet that's actually happened for you. Your best days are yet to come. That is about to happen. I truly believe that. And so this morning when we look at the life of Abraham, three lessons. One is, firstly, the thing that God said in raising those from the dead that have died. Secondly, they flip over here again, that I have called those things that do not exist as though they did. And thirdly, being fully convinced for what he had promised, he was also able to perform. So in these three parts of faith this morning, we see faith past, faith present, and faith future. Firstly, faith past. And I think last week I gave some examples. And one of the examples I gave was of an example well overseas, a situation where a young girl had turned up at a prayer meeting to pray for rain, but she herself had actually taken an umbrella. Now, that's an example from Canvas some years ago in a different situation than we might be in. What I wanted to give as an example, yes, it's in the past, in fact, 100 years ago in 1922, but a situation that happened not far from here in a church on the same street that we're on. And the story is a man of faith called Smith Wigglesworth. Some of you may have heard the name. Is that a name anyone's familiar with? Fantastic. There we go. An actual, I didn't even know that wasn't scripted. Thank you, Don. An actual situation of this man that came. This guy, the level of faith he had was amazing, and I think inspired us. Now, I believe he was a cobbler, someone who fixed shoes before he was called to become a Christian, and was called to travel widely. And one of the places he was called to was called to New Zealand from Australia. He was in Australia, an invitation, and sat there, and this blessed Australian person said, "What we would love to have you remain here the whole time. I believe it's important that you go to New Zealand." So we have the Aussies to thank for the fact that he came to New Zealand back in 1922. Bearing in mind these are the interwar periods, there wasn't a lot of extra supply or resource available. Smith Wigglesworth was a man of faith to the extreme because he travelled from Christchurch to Rangiora, and I imagine must have been a Model T back in the day. When he got a wee way, I think, he's going to Scargill. And on the way at Rangiora, he ran out of petrol. God told him to pour water that they took for the radiator into the petrol tank and drive on. And people said, if you do that, you've wrecked the Model T. It's not worth it. He said, God has shown me to pour water into the petrol tank. Water was poured into the petrol tank, driven on, not a miss, no difference, no damage, and came back to Christchurch, got all the way back. I think it got quite good gas mileage on the water. That is an example of faith of a man who believed and had taken smaller steps to get to that point. Those he was travelling with weren't necessarily of the same level of faith. That's the first point I want to make with. We might be in a car or a vehicle or a place or a ministry or a church, and we are feeling called by God to step up in a point of faith. This is an historic example of something that happened. But he knew that if he had a bit of a sort of, I guess, a Baptist way of doing it, had a bit of a meeting about it and said, what should we do? Oh, it's not worth the damage, is it? Those guys in Scargill, well, maybe they're not going to hear what you've got to say. It's not worth the cost of the vehicle or the cost of the resource in order to do that. And I wonder for some of us whether we may have counted the cost and consider it's too costly to take that step of faith, because those that are traveling with have given us very good ideas and very clear reasons why we shouldn't do that thing. It may have more cost or consequence for a much bigger thing. The second thing about Smith Wigglesworth, talking about a situation historically, while there was healing and while there was extreme healing, it says here, God who gives life to the dead. Now, I'm not going to suggest that you should or shouldn't do this, or this would be what God calls you to do. But Smith Wigglesworth was well aware from his time in Africa that sometimes people died too soon and they needed to be resurrected to do the purpose and serve the way that God wanted them to. I've relayed the story before of people coming to life again in Africa when God had raised them up to a position where they had been taken away far too soon. Smith Wigglesworth, being a man of faith, decided that this would also be applicable here. And while he was here, he attended the funeral of a pastor who had died, not that young, but in his 50s. And as far as this man of faith was concerned, this was too young. So having found out a little bit late the funeral was on, he went to the funeral and was during the funeral when you go up to the front to pay respects at the open casket. And once again, I kid you not, this actually happened. Smith Wigglesworth reached into the coffin, pulled the man out of the coffin. Now, if we can imagine, Jesse, do you want to come over here just to use this example? Can I just borrow you for a quick second? Yep. Or actually, Jacob, you'll be fine. You'd be fine. So imagine Jakob is, or both of you, that's great. It would be exactly like this. I'll put my arms around both of you, and it would be like picking both of them up, taking them over here, dragging them to the side, and then what he actually did, I'll just give you this mic here. He dragged them to the side, and because they weren't alive by now, he threw them up against the wall and banged their head against the wall 5 times. Whack, 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 whack. Thank you very much. Thanks, guys. And, wow, amazing. Back to life. Thanks, Jesse. I don't know if you've ever been to a funeral like that. I can't imagine what the people were thinking, because it took 5 whacks on the head to actually achieve this. But being a man of faith, he knew God had said to him, this person has died too soon. This is not yet dead and buried. Dead to all intents and purposes, but not gone and buried. The second lesson from this man's life is it may be that those that you're with are looking shocked at what you were doing as a step of faith and saying, this thing is not yet dead and buried. Incredibly, this was something that he did, because he read this passage, said, God gives life to the dead. Took it literally and said, this is a dead person. This person has died too soon. God can give him life again. I'm going to take the step of faith and do this. So that is a story in the past. We've heard from Don a direct story of how Smith Wigglesworth was involved in his father, in healing. But these are stories of faith, and this is an example as we read about the life of Abraham. Abraham's life, who you may know if you've been around the church for a while and understanding the story of this man's life, was someone that God promised that all of the descendants, those who would eventually make up the nation of Israel and the future church, would be made up from descendants from his body, or descendants from his sons and daughters. The problem was he didn't have any. So he went through a number of methods to try and fix that himself, but ultimately realized that God would have to make a change when he was 100 years old. And his wife, I think, was around 80, 85, had their first child at that time. So this is the example and the life of faith. And God saw or prompted Smith Wigglesworth, I don't want to go on about him too much, to read this and understand this was something that was done. In the passage we read, for him as good as dead. Someone who at the age of 100, even back then, shouldn't be able to father. And yet God had allowed that to happen. The second story is about faith present. Now, I've put my Bible down somewhere. Where did I put it? Over here, thank you. And we read about faith present. It says here this lovely verse that we'll read again. Romans 4. We read again, it says in Romans 4. And calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now, we've been talking about an example of something that is going to happen at school next year. In faith, we're saying that. A Christian event at the school, a ministry that seems to be slowly building, and Cam spoke about this morning. A present situation, something that's actually happening, something that has been called in to exist now as though it did. We are saying that this is something that will exist even though it's not yet happened. Faith is something that actually has a relatively fluid view of timelines, because often we look and say, if it was going to happen, it would have happened by now. I'm going to get Nick to come up here, because last week, in the midst of our projector not working, etc., I forgot to ask Nick to give a testimony of something that was happening in the present. Thanks, Nick. If you give that testimony of what you told me last week about this story of faith. Thank you.
Right, so 2 weeks ago on a Monday, it was the second period in school. We were in English, and I was in his classroom, and then suddenly at the back of the classroom, my mate Michael pointed out to the teacher that one of my classmates, Sean, was leaning over and coughing and stuff. And so the teacher was quite worried and got Michael to take him to the nurse. And so then Cam and I were kind of just like singing worship songs out loud, not really doing the work. But anyway, so I just prayed out loud that it would be okay. And then my teacher was just like, "You'll feel really bad if he's not okay." But then I told her that he'll be fine. That was quite scary. Anyway. Michael came back from the nurse and told everyone that he'd had an asthma attack, but he was doing well. And then I think later on that day, I can't remember if he came back. But anyway, the next couple of days he was back at school and everything. And then on Wednesday, Wednesday, it was like fourth period, we packed up a little too early, so everyone was kind of just like standing around, not doing much. And then Cam put his hand up and said, "Just want to let everyone know, God loves him." And so, that was good of Cam, got us in the mood. And so I remembered about what I prayed about on Monday, and so I put my hand up and I said, "Miss, don't you think it's pretty cool that I prayed for Sean and then Jesus healed him?" And then it was quite an interesting response, actually. She, what did she say? She said, in a very angry and harsh way, she was like, "Be very careful of what you say. You know, your sarcasm and irony can be very harmful." And I was like, "No, miss, I'm being serious. You know, I'm not being sarcastic. I think it's cool." And she was, not sure what she did. She kind of just ignored it after then. But yeah, there you go.
Thanks, Nick. Excellent. Once again, those around us, be very careful what you say. Be very careful what you say. And this word can also be said by those who we would call brothers and sisters. They don't necessarily want to hear the stories of faith. The last thing I want to talk about this morning is beginning this journey of faith. This is faith in the future. I need a couple of volunteers here. Maybe someone here who is wondering what the step of faith is about, who may or may not have taken that. We're going to have a trial run. So need a couple of volunteers. What you're going to do, just to tell you, because people must worry about that when they're a volunteer. What am I going to get them to do? Am I going to embarrass them? Are they going to have to say something silly? Not at all. In fact, you won't even be seen. You will be heard, so whether you're a child that wants to be seen and not heard, that doesn't matter, but you will be heard but not seen. So I've got a couple of mics here I need you to take and go in different directions. So do we have a couple of volunteers to show what it's like to take the step of faith, to begin this journey of faith? I could pick a couple of people, but volunteers would be great. Okay, yes. So Katie, you might be keen as well. Yeah, good on you. I thought Katie, and I can see the hands as well there. So let's have, maybe Katie, that'd be great. Look, it's really sick. Come on up here, that'd be great. And Kim, you come up as well, that'd be great. So you hang on, hold of that one. And he got one here for Cam. Yeah, great. So, now, these guys are going to begin a journey of faith. Now, what that actually involves is that there's two, I said last week that faith is the first, is taking a step when you can't see the whole staircase. There's two staircases in here, and what we're going to do is begin this journey of faith because for some of us who are wondering what this is like, there'll be things that we encounter along that way that'll be very instructional for the rest of us. Now, it doesn't matter who goes where, but there's a staircase out there or there's a staircase up there. So if one of you go one direction, one go the other, and begin your journey of faith. The clock is not necessarily ticking, but there is a step that you can take. Now, the first thing that we can see is that Katie is wondering, where do I begin this step of faith? What's happened? Someone's shown them. Now, Katie's enjoying this. We can hear you, Katie. Can you hear us? Wonderful. So that Cam already knew because he was familiar. And is that good?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I am. Can you hear us?
Oh, yeah, we're good.
Oh, that's good. Now, you just stay at the bottom of that, at the stairs there, just at the bottom, at the very bottom, at the start of this journey of faith. And Cam, can you hear us?
Yep.
Now, Cam knew where to go, but he was familiar. He knew how to take that step of faith. It may be that the person that's alongside you doesn't even know how to begin. I have a friend who regularly meets with me, and he says to me, I say to people, they need to have more faith, and that's the thing that will get them through life, and it'll certainly be better for them after they die. And I say, what does that mean for the person you're talking to? And because of his background and his culture and his understanding, he knew that having faith meant believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins, etc., etc. That you would take a step of faith towards Jesus Christ in God. Now, Katie didn't know where to go. Someone has shown her how to take the first step. Now, you're on the journey, as you begin to take the journey, both Kate and Cam, what's the first thing you come across on your journey of faith up the steps of the staircase?
A wooden block.
A wooden block? What have you got? Same thing there, Katie?
There's like a magazine in the way.
Oh, right. What's the first thing you come across? Because I think you might have bypassed a few steps of faith. So if you can unstep your faith here, Katie, and go back to the
start. Oh, yeah, there's a block.
I'm loving the enthusiasm to get to the top. That's fantastic. So there's a wooden block there. Now, that what could that represent, guys? What do you think that might represent?
I have no idea.
Any thoughts?
Something hard.
Something. Ah, good. Something hard. And it could also represent a stumbling block. The steps of faith that God gives us are definitely sure and secure and incremental, but there may be stumbling blocks along the way, things that actually stop us taking these steps in an even and measured manner. Just because there's a stumbling block doesn't mean that you're not on the right step of faith or journey of faith. So if you can get past the stumbling block without tripping on it, take a few more steps and what do you come across? Both of you, I think, hope they've got the order the same.
Toilet paper.
Yeah, toilet paper.
What could that represent?
Cleaning yourself?
Possibly, yes. It could represent that things aren't always so good. There's a bit of stuff that happens along the way that maybe you have to once again step over or step around. This is part of the journey of faith. Keep on going up. What do you come across?
A magazine.
What sort of magazine is it?
A woman's magazine.
Why are you reading a woman's magazine, Cam?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
Katie, what's your one over there? What have you got?
Yeah, I've got a woman's magazine as well, and it's called Next.
Called Next. And what's in the Next magazine?
The next step of life, maybe?
Oh, deep. No, just let's not go so deep. Let's look on the cover. What's it all about?
Summer.
Yeah, and what sort of content is in the Next magazine? Katie, you might be able to help Cam.
Our future is bright. The innovators, creators, creatives, and disruptors shaping success.
Fashion, food, etc., etc. All sorts of distractions.
Yeah.
And we may find that when we get along the journey of faith, there are things that we say, hey, it's getting pretty steep. Each step I take is quite hard to take. There are distractions that I would love to take. Now, hopefully you can get past that distraction and get to the top of the staircase, and when you get to the top, what do you find? You may have to look a little bit right at the top there.
Kit Kat,
chocolate. Excellent. Well done, guys. Come on down, give them a big hand. So they have taken this journey and the step of faith. As they're coming down, I'd like to read again the verse that represents faith future. And it says here at the bottom of Romans 4, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Thanks, Cam. Wonderful. What he had promised, he was also able to perform. Now, it may be that faith future for some of us here is an example of the journey of faith that was taken by those guys. Thanks very much. That's awesome. Hang on to the chocolate. Sure. That's great. Yep, that's awesome. Because you may well have been promised something that as yet God doesn't seem to have performed. Bear in mind that Abraham, the example that we read about before and the example in this passage here, was someone that at 100 years old fulfilled the first step of faith. And what we may or may not understand is that not long after that, there was an even bigger step of faith that was taken when he was asked to sacrifice his only son that had been achieved through this extraordinary journey of faith and understanding. God then saw that he was the most important thing in his life. Don't worry, Isaac wasn't sacrificed, but God needed to test him after he had made his biggest step of faith to date at 100, at around age 110, an even bigger step was taken. So my example and my promise to you this morning is that God has called out things as though they're not yet, is able to give life to the dead, and most importantly, if we are people of faith being fully convinced that what God has promised, he is also able to perform. I just want to pray and ask if we close our eyes to finish today. And as we close our eyes, before I pray, I want us to think about the words that have been spoken over you. And some of the words we have spoken over us haven't been too good. I'm not talking about those words. These are things that we may have to receive prayer for, absolutely. But what I'm referring to, the words that have been spoken, as if we just can close our eyes and think about the promises that have been made to us. And for those that have been on a journey of faith for some time, I guess I'm referring to you particularly, where there is words that have been given about a job or a role or a ministry or a destiny that God has for you. And you'd have to honestly say at this stage, you're not sure if you're fully convinced, as Abraham was, that what God has promised he was able to perform. We see the Bible as a book of faith, and we understand that many people took that journey of faith and that step of faith because God was able to fulfill and perform what he had promised. Think about those words that were given to you, that were spoken over you. And I'm just going to pause for a few minutes or even a minute as we consider those words. And I just want us to pray that those words that were spoken of us, those prophetic words, those words of destiny and future that may have sat for many years and we've thought, nah, well, I'm retired now, or I'm, you know, getting on, or I'm well and truly involved in other things. I don't think those words are there for me. Just while we remain with our eyes closed, think about the person that gave you those words, that promised that for you, that gave you those prophetic words. Consider that it might not have been easy for them to do that. They may have taken a step of faith, as we heard prophetic words spoken before, words about provision that June gave and other words that came out. That's not easy for people to speak them. And you realize these words are for us to hear. So, Father, I pray that we would just, in this silence, consider and remember the words that were spoken to us. Words of faith. Words that were spoken over us that we would step into something. And at that stage, we believed fully that what you have promised, you are well able to perform, Father God. And yet we find ourselves remembering those words, maybe from many years ago, and saying, it doesn't seem to have happened. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it doesn't seem to have happened. Lord, in the silence, just for a minute, I ask that you speak to us, remind us of these words. And Lord, show us the next step that we're to take, maybe the first step. Not things that we do ourselves, because this is what you, Lord, want to do in us. Show us the next step. It may be the first step, but show us the next step that we're to take. Speak to us now, Holy Spirit.